to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defence on Kisway, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me is former Crystal Palace midfielder Simon Osborne. Welcome back to the show, mate. How's it going?
Very well, thanks, mate. Good evening, too. I'm doing really well. Just tonight, so all good.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, mate, main subject of tonight's show and today's top news is Alan Pardew being sacked by Crystal Palace after 2 years in charge. It's been a bit of a topsy-turvy couple of years for Pardew, hasn't it? He dug him out of the mire when he took over, guiding him from 18th to 10th and then a cup final appearance, but it was downhill from there. I mean, what's your initial reaction when you heard the news?
You look at the record of what's gone on. You talked about since he came in December 15, I think it was, and what he's done up till then, but his record from sort of this year has been awful, and I know there's a few stats flying about here, there, and on Twitter and whatever that Palace actually have the worst form in 2016. So it's interesting. They've got, you know, very little points out of the last year, 36, I think, Premiership games and something like 26 points. So it's just the timing of it and when it's come. There's a game to come on Boxing Day, sort of straight afterwards. It's a strange one. You thought if they were going to do it, I know he got the result the other week, that's sort of a little bit of a stay of execution, but maybe they've been thinking about it since the result of the weekend and they've sort of changed now rather than going further forward.
The thing is, I remember when he got appointed and you and I spoke at great length about the actual appointment and you were spot on about the influence he'd have on the younger players, especially the likes of Zahar and Balassi. They really stepped up. But do you think the senior players and summer signings have let him down?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're only as good as the people you're bringing in. You spent an awful lot of money, obviously, let Balassi go, thinking that he's going to bring a centre forward in Petri, who, you know, has still been scoring a few goals here and there, but hasn't really... I don't think they've really brought anything else in to add to that. The defence has been pretty shaky this year, which is something that when he first came in, they managed to sort out and not concede many goals. But, you know, conceding that amount of goals in any division, not just the Premier League, and you're not going to pick many points up. And I think he didn't bring the kind of players in, the money he spent. I think everyone's going to be looking at that and putting yourself under a bit more scrutiny.
The thing is, as you know, you played the highest level, mate, and there are defining moments that change a footballer's career, even a manager's career. I spoke to a friend of mine on Tuesday and he mentioned Jedinak being probably one of the reasons why Palace haven't been great this season. He did so well from the seasons that he was at the club. Do you think letting him go was kind of like a pivotal moment?
I'm not sure. You know, we don't see it day in, day out. You see Jedinak, and maybe he thought that, you know, like all managers do at some point, they think they've got to go a different direction at certain times. Jedinak was a force in areas of presence, you know, in that defensive midfield role. Maybe he thought he needed a little bit something different in there. He's got Joe Ledley that sits in, and sometimes McArthur does that job as well. So he probably thought that he was surplus to what he was going to do this season. So let's sort of take some money from him, get him out of the way, and try and bring something else in. But people are looking at that. They've lost the captain, they've lost a bit of a leader. Have they ever replaced it? I don't know.
I think it's a stark contrast in fortunes. I mean, 3 or 4 months ago, he was touted as the next England boss, and now he's out of work. What do you think's next for Pardew?
The jobs will come up, won't they, with all due respect. He's not become a bad manager overnight. It's just, you know, some of the players have to shoulder a bit of responsibility as well. Individual errors cost managers jobs. And like I said, I'll probably look at things and take stock over the next couple of months and see what comes up.
Absolutely. Now, as you mentioned before, 6 wins in the last 36 games and 22 losses isn't good enough. So it wouldn't be a surprise if the board based their decision on that statistic. But I think they could have handled this a bit better. I mean, Sam Allardyce emerged as the front runner to take over. And obviously something must have leaked for that news to come out straight away. What do you make of that?
Listen, people are going to put 2 and 2 together and come up with 5. If Sam's come out of the England job, he's going to be instantly linked with any job that comes up in the Premier League. As are other managers that are long out now. I know Clinton's been mentioned, I think Mancini's been mentioned. And, you know, people are going to always put those people that are out of work in count for the job. I don't think they'd attacked Big Sam up in any way, shape or form. And what I think it is that they've sat down after the weekend's results. They've had a real long, hard look at it, looked at what we're talking about there, the statistics over the final, over this last year. They're going into a, you know, Boxing Day fixture. I just think the timing's a bit strange, but they've obviously looked deep into this and thought, if we don't make change now, we could be in serious trouble. So let's make it now, let's get out in the market. Sue's available as a manager. We know he's out there. There are a handful of people that can come in and do the kind of job that you're looking at. Big Sam goes straight to the top of your list for that. money that's going to cost the football club. You know, there are new owners in there as well. So, you know, they'll be looking at all those things. And as we well know, in American sport, they do love statistics.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, the thing is, Allardyce, he seems to be the sensible successor, is he? I mean, you know what to expect, and Palace are in a better position than what Sunderland were when he took over a couple of years ago there. So I doubt the American co-owners will appoint someone without experience in getting teams out of relegation battles, let alone someone like, as you mentioned, Klinsmann, who's never managed in the league before.
No, that's right. I mean, you look at things like that, and I think Tate Swansea at the moment, not saying Burnley's doing a bad job, but he hasn't had the impact that Swansea would desire, and he's coming from the league that's unknown to a culture in some respects that's unknown. Big Sam knows this. Again, he ticks all the boxes for you. He's done it. You know, he hasn't been relegated by people in the last few years with Sunderland, with everyone sort of making them the favourites to go down. He gets teams organised. You know, Palace on paper don't have a horrendous squad and are lacking in players. You know, one or two signings, which again I think is possibly one of the reasons that the board at Palace have looked at it and said, if we, you know, do we have complete faith in the manager that we're going to have to spend some money in January? Maybe not. So is it best now that we get shot in some respects? I know that sounds pretty harsh, but make a clean break and get into January with a fresh emphasis of a manager to make a couple of signings that will keep them up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing is, mate, if Allardyce doesn't take over, who do you think is a realistic target? I know Mancini, Coleman and Redknapp are candidates, well, according to the bookies, anyway, but who do you think is the right person if Allardyce isn't the one?
I don't think Chris Coleman will leave his post at the moment in Wales with what he's doing, so I think, although he's a previous Palace player that I played with, I can't see him being in the frame for it unless he wants to get back to day-to-day management, which, again, is sometimes at certain stages of careers managers want to do. Mancini, would he go into that now? I'm not so sure. Redknapp, possibly. But again, he's been out of the game for a couple of years now, so would the owners look at that as a backward step or on the forward step? You know, I don't know. I think they'll probably look at a target of Allardyce and put him as his number one priority and see if they can make that happen. Other than that, do you possibly look at something a little bit maybe down in the Championship that somebody has done really well? I don't know.
What about Gary Rowett? I know he did recently be well at Birmingham City, and you know he was kind of sacked a bit unfairly. Would he be in with a chance, you reckon?
Personally, no, I don't think so. Too inexperienced in some respects, and not been in this situation before. I think the problem you get is you go for a tried and trusted. Roy Hodgson, right. Local boy, born in Croydon. Would someone go for him? Possibly. You know, we're talking about people that aren't in work. They will have a short list of the people at the football club, the chief exec or whatever, but we getting those names together now, speaking to a few agents, seeing who's out there and who's available and going from there, I think.
Fair enough. And if you're in charge of the club, where do you think they need improvement?
I think it's been pretty evident from now on. Yes, they've brought Benteke in and they've added a few more goals there. I think they are struggling a little bit at full-back since Suarez got injured. They're certainly missing the left-back, naturally. I think a centre-half, Scott Dan and Daniel Delaney certainly haven't hit the heights, and Scott Dan being injured has caused this issue. Certainly in the central midfield area, again, we keep talking about having that creative player. I really don't think Kabay's hit the kind of heights that they've expected at Crystal Palace, so I'd certainly look at something like that. So, you know, same stuff, you know, down at the left-hand side is a definite must in the defensive area, so I'd probably be, if it was me standing there now, depending on what you're going to get out of Mandanda, I don't think Hennessy's been fantastic again this year. So I'd certainly be looking at centre-half and possible left-back for definite, that creative midfield player. And then it's a possible another goal scorer or a game-changer up front, really. I think they've got Conor Wickham-Otsi injured and Benteke, who are pretty similar. That's what surprised me most when they let Dwight Galgo, because, you know, he does get goals at any level, and he's proven that again in the Championship. He's a top scorer by a long shot.
And what about Andros Townsend? I mean, he's been on the bench, he's been in and out of the team. Do you think he's got a future at the club?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the same as anything. It's getting that consistency and being able to play games. You know, you've seen it this year with someone like Victor Moses, where he's been out on loan, not really played a lot of games. All of a sudden, Conte, a manager, takes a liking to him in a certain position, and since then he's been flourishing this year. And I think, yeah, as any footballer, it's a little bit of confidence, it's a little bit of game time that gains you that confidence and also gets your fitness levels up and your sharpness and everything else with it. Training's great, but we're playing sort of 90 minutes of Premier League football is a completely different kettle of fish.
Mm, that's right, that's right. And I think if Benteke and Townsend can replicate the form that they had, you know, the back end of their seasons at Villa and Newcastle respectively, I don't think Palace will have a problem. I mean, they were on fire, weren't they?
Absolutely, you know, Townsend in the team at Newcastle went down was fantastic towards the end of the season. And Benteke, as we know, if you give him service, he will get goals. You know, he's had the odd game this year where he hasn't quite been accurate, but he's still top scorer. He's still, at the moment, one that looks most likely to score. So if they can provide him with service, which is balls in the box from the likes of Townsend, the likes of Zaha, then they will, you know, I think they should have enough to do it. There's some teams down there that are really struggling, as we know, Swansea, Sunderland, teams like that whole. So you're looking at the moment, he's just got to start picking up a couple of wins, getting a little bit of confidence, and then sort of pushing on from there.
Brilliant. And one more thing, mate, before I let you go. Care to predict how Palace's season will pan out?
I mean, if you're looking here and you're standing up there, if I'm in the board, I'd be looking at a game. I'd want to be into that sort of middle third of the table, somewhere between 10th and sort of 15th, knowing that I'm safe, knowing that your new manager's in, there's a possibility of building, maybe getting rid of a few players at the end of the season. I think that's probably, if I was a manager, I'd be going in and looking at that. I'd certainly be looking at getting as quickly as you possibly can to that 40-point mark. And after that, anything after that really is a bonus. But like I said, it's not going to be easy. As we all know, there are no easy games in the Premier League. Confidence at the moment is low. It's going to be a blow to some of the players there that have come in and done well under Pardew, who all been given their chance. And again, but what most clubs, most boards expect is a reaction to that. I presume at the moment, I haven't seen the whole details of it, that Keith Millen is staying there in charge. He's done a caretaker job previously. Again, Kevin King's gone in there with Alan Pardew lately. I don't know what the staff's going to do. Are they going to change it? I wouldn't expect it to be a huge turnaround. I'd expect Keith to be a bit of stability unless they're going to bring something in before Boxing Day.
Brilliant. Well, Simon, thank you very much for your time. And if I don't speak to you, have a fantastic Christmas. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, no problem at all, mate. Andrew.
Cheers, mate. All the best. Thank you very much, Simon. Appreciate it.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, mate. Take care.
Bye.